Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome. Today's worship festival is a bridge between the Advent, Christmas, Epiphany seasons that come to a close today and the Lent Easter seasons that begin in several days. On a high mountain, Jesus is revealed again as God, his Father's beloved Son, echoing his words at Jesus' holy baptism. This vision of glory sustains us as Jesus faces his impending death and resurrection in Jerusalem. We turn this week to Ash Wednesday in our yearly baptismal journey from Lent to Easter. Some churches put aside the Alleluia at the conclusion of today's liturgy. This word of joy will be omitted during the potential season of Lent and will be sung again at Easter.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Holy Spirit moving over the waters. Amen. As we approach the mystery of the Holy Trinity, let us come in confession, trusting our redemption in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Together as beloved children of the Holy Trinity and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we reject the evil one of this world and strive only for the holy light that is granted to us in the faithfulness and salvation of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Live the promise of holy baptism. We are children of the Holy Trinity. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad, for ours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father, in the transfiguration of your Son, Jesus, you confirm the mysteries of our faith by the witness of your prophets, Moses and Elijah. And in your voice from the bright cloud again, declaring Jesus your beloved Son, you foreshadow our adoption as your children. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to make us heirs with Jesus of your glory and bring us to enjoy its fullness through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
At Mount Sinai, the prophet Moses experienced the presence of the Lord God for 40 days and 40 nights. The glory of the Lord settled on the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called out to Moses. On the mountain, the Lord gave God Moses, Lord God gave Moses the stone tablets inscribed with the Lord God's Ten Commandments. First lessons from Exodus. Excuse me. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instructions." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. To the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again. For Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
At Jesus' transfiguration, God his Father's voice is heard again, declaring Jesus to be his beloved Son. By the activity of the Holy Spirit, God our Father's voice continues to be heard through holy word of holy scriptures. Second lesson is from Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of majesty. For he receives honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy or scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Word of God, word of life.
Shortly before Jesus enters Jerusalem, where he will be crucified and raised from the dead, Jesus revealed to St. Peter, St. James, and St. John in a mountaintop experience of divine glory called Jesus' Transfiguration. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before the disciples, and his face shone like the sun, and Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to all of them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched Peter and James and John, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when the disciples looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As the four of them were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here on the Sabbath as your Son, Jesus Christ, Lutheran Church, 11 o'clock worship service. We're grateful for those gathered at 8 and 9:30 as well, along with billions of Christians around the world, Saturdays, Sundays, Wednesdays, and other days of the week, as we honor the commandment given by Moses from the mountain, which came from you on the tablets, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. This is a gift to be here today. We're grateful that we continue to minister to our brothers and sisters temporarily or permanently unable to be with us, who definitely miss the Sabbath, but we take the Sabbath to them in holy word and holy sacrament. As we do so, we're also invigorated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that this creation that you made, that we are part of, is good. As I was staring at the sky Saturday, seeing the blue sky, it was absolutely vividly beautiful. I kept thinking to myself, how can people not believe in you? It's clear you created this world and it has fallen by no thing that you did. It was human sin. But in your Son, we get the greatest gift of his righteousness and grace. And therefore, when we leave this place, we now see a sign that says, from the Sabbath, you are now going and entering Jesus' ministries and missions fields. May we continue to bring the holy light of your Son, Jesus Christ, to your world here locally and state nationally and around your world, and continue to tell everybody that salvation is here. It has a name, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today. If you're wondering, I was not able to stay in Daytona this weekend on Monday. We had to come back Sunday night. My buddy had to work, so I worked. But this is not sunburn from being at the track. I am 1 week in, as of tonight, one more treatment of removing my precancerous from all my face. And so I have one more week to go. I don't look at that as I got one more week behind me. I'm like, yes, because I only got one more week to go. But I tell you what, today it has made me incredibly itchy. So if you see me doing this, It's not because you're bothering me. It's because I'm itching. I'm headed to Walgreens afterwards to see if they can get me something.
Bag balm. I went through it, and it cools it right down.
Yeah, don't leave without telling me that so I can write it down. Yes, and so, yes, this has nothing to do with me not using sunscreen at the Great American Races. This has everything to do with all the sunscreen I didn't use up until the time I was 58 years old. Okay. And then, of course, you need to harass Alan Gouge for me. So, Alan, that's Joan's brother-in-law. So on the way out, he goes, I had to do that, and it got really itchy. But he said this, but it gets worse this week. I can't wait to tell my dermatologist that. You're not supposed to say stuff like that. Well, if they really wanted to tell Ray what it was like after the surgery, Ray would go, if I want to have that, you need to have it. So, but it's good to be back with you this week. Thank you for welcoming Pastor Chaplain Chris Salerno last week into your midst. He is going to become a full-time member of the ELCM. He's applied paperwork, so that's in process. So he's always glad to be with you. I think on some Sundays, a lot of them, I think he worships with his parents, and his parents are still part of the Presbyterian denomination. So I'm not sure about that, but I think that's it. Today we get to talk about the word holy, one of my favorite words. Every Sabbath is holy ground. This place that we are in is not ours, it's the Lord's, and it's holy ground. And then we take that holy ground and we go out and enter Jesus' ministries and missions fields. And you don't seem very excited about that today. Jesus is giving us this wonderful gift. But the disciples must have answered a question first. It's not in our liturgy. We don't know why only Peter and James and John were the three that went, but we do know that Jesus must have said something like this. Peter and James and John, come with me up the mountain. And they said, yes, Lord. Do we answer that when Jesus says, come with me? Come with me up the mountain, into the plain, into the streets, into the fields. Come with me. Think of what would have happened to Peter and James and John if they had said no. Not now. They said yes, and they went. And oh my heavens, did they receive holy ground. Think about what happened to them on the mountain. They had no idea this was coming. Jesus asked us to go, and we went. And up on the mountain, everything starts to change. First, Jesus becomes dazzling white, whiter than our wildest imaginations. And if that didn't already get their attention that they were in the presence of holy and the divine, all of a sudden, they see Moses and Elijah and they know who they are. They had never met them before. And I'm always wondering why this isn't where they got scared. I've never seen anybody literally raised from the dead. And I think if I did, even though I too have never met Moses and Elijah, either there's a picture in your bulletin of what he might look like, and they knew who he was and they weren't scared. They weren't standing back. Peter is so crazy. He goes, hey, this is great. Let's make dwelling places, Jesus. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I don't know about you, but if I'm in the presence of that much holiness, I think I might be going, whoa, Nelly, as you used to remember Keith Jackson. If you remember him. And then the Father speaks. This is my Son, the Beloved. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. And only at that point did they get scared. When you're in the presence of holy, it's astounding. It's amazing. It also can come with the overwhelming feeling of the omnipotence has come, and the disciples fall to the ground and put their faces to the ground. But I love being in the presence of holy. This is holy right here every Sabbath and when we leave. But what often gets overlooked in this gospel is what happened next and how holy it is. There they are in the presence of resurrected people, Moses and Elijah, and they've heard the Father's voice and they're terrified. And Jesus does something amazing, which is incredibly holy. Comes up and he touches them. Imagine this touch on that mountain. Peter, you're James today.
Fair enough.
James. And John, get up. And then he gives this wonderful message of grace. do not be afraid. Remember, he is going to go to Jerusalem in this gospel next. And he knows Peter and James and John are going to betray him. And instead of rebuking them, he touches them with the power of the divine touch. Get up! Do not be afraid. And then they go down the mountain. And Jesus says, do not say anything of this until I am raised from the dead. If that doesn't get you fired up about who God is, I don't know what will. I love talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about holy and the power that's given to us from the touch of Christ in these waters and this table and in our fellowship together and on the Sabbath here and when we go out into the world, knowing that we have that power with us. And Jesus says, get up, do not be afraid, and go on your way. My grace is sufficient for you. And the answer from us is either yes or no. And my answer is always yes. This is incredible good news. I love being in the presence of God. Don't you love the astounding things God's doing? You're sitting in one. In under 4 years, you're sitting in one. This is incredible, incredible grace and good news. By the power of God, by no human being, this place is in being. And it's holy ground for us and those who gather here. And that should get you excited. It's astounding. It's amazing. And sometimes it comes with some fears and some scares. Okay. Jesus touches us. He says, get up. Do not be afraid. I'm always going. Have you noticed that? Yes, Lord, where are you sending? Yes, Lord, we can do that. I'm not afraid. Yes, Lord, this is the way to do it. I'm blessed to be your shepherd leader. But I don't do the leading. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who touches. Jesus is the one who has the grace. Jesus is the one who has the eternal life and forgiveness. And Jesus is the one, not me, that says, get up and do not be afraid. And may we always say amen and hallelujah to the divinity of Christ that's on display today. But find it in the world. Compliment it. In this often fallen world, we can see a lot of death and destruction and false messages. And sometimes it grates on us. Get up and do not be afraid. And know that the Holy One is in the midst, just like He was on the mountain. I've been going to Daytona for the races for 25 years, believe it or not. Part of the reason why I have to use all this stuff on my face now. Every year I'm assaulted. And so is everybody else who goes there. For 25 years. When you get there at all 4 days of the races, I go Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday afternoon. There's a group of anywhere between 20 and 40 people. And they're basically in your way of getting into the track. And they have bullhorns. And they have huge signs on huge poles that they're holding up. Repent or else! And their message is false. And for too many, that's the vision of Christianity. On a Sunday, there might be 180,000 people there hearing repent or else. And the gentleman, if I call him that, I won't call him what I really think in church. As I was walking by, said this. If you're going in there for revelry, you will rot in hell. I'm going to a race. There's no sense in confronting them. It just eggs them on. My buddy Dale walked up to one of them and said, politely, you're giving Christianity a bad name. And he pointed at Dale and said, you're not a Christian. Dale's a pretty good fighter. He's lucky he didn't get knocked out. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit prevailed. This year. I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but I believe it was Sunday. I saw somebody there, you know. The Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ said to this person, who never speaks, get up and go to Daytona and get in the midst of the wolves. And you know who this is, and it's not me. You see him standing on the street corners around here. On 441 and 42. At Sunset Harbor Road and 441. At Walmart. And he holds a sign like this. There's a black gentleman. Jesus is Jehovah God, the only God. And when the traffic moves, he changes to where it goes. He never speaks, no bullhorn. And he was there in the midst of those idiots. And what I said to myself is, I knew this gospel. The Lord said, get up and go and touch him. And do not be afraid. Imagine the abuse that guy took. But he held that sign. It was pure holy light and holy ground and grace. And I swear to you, his sign stuck out above all others. When I got back on Monday, I was going north on 441. And I got to Sunset Harbor Road. He was back. And there I saw him. Someday I'm going to thank him. I saw you in Daytona. And you have the mountaintop. You have the holy light. Not the goofballs that were assaulting you. I would have loved to have hugged them, but then I had to run through the wolves. In the incredible good news of all of this, I've learned some things over the years, particularly when the Lord said, get up and go to seminary, about keeping Jesus first in my life, in everything, including finances. Jesus was always in my financial life, but he's sometimes, you know, down the side, you know, the last resort, not the first. Jesus Christ is first in everything I think of and do financially. I think some of you would like to build the sanctuary over there, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Not our sanctuary. It's going to be built for us and for those who come after us. And that's incredible good news. Ray and I have been talking about that and how can we present the need. It's a large chunk of change, and we shouldn't be scared to talk about those things. We should say, if the Lord wants it, get up and do not be afraid and get it done. But I've had to change the way I think about these things over the years. Sure, my house budget is 40%. It's $33,000 that goes directly to my mortgage and my insurance and all the people I have to take care of my pool that I've never been in and things like that. That's 40% of my annual income. This year I gave 24% of my annual income to this church and the ministries of Jesus on behalf of him. And I never worried about it a second. I never worried when I was in my financial difficulties. I never stopped giving to Jesus and his missions and ministries. At a minimum each year it's 12%. It's first to this church and the ministries of Christ in Albania and India and Salvation Army and here and around the world. And I've never made that second because I'm not afraid. And I also know this from Hires Baxley. A long time ago, one of the gentlemen there said to me, you know, Pastor Dave, had a lot of funeral processions in my life. Not one of them had a Brinks truck. If we truly want to build that, we have to look at what we're doing financially and say, Lord, you are first, and the resources will come. And Jesus will say this and touch us. Stand up and do not be afraid. And that's holy ground. And I'm excited about those things. And I have two finance degrees, so you're stuck. A couple of weeks ago when I preached, I apparently scared some people. Part of that's my job. You shouldn't always be comfortable when you're here. Do you think they were comfortable on the mountaintop? They did fall down. Now, I'm not God, but they fell down. When I mentioned the pantry for the congregation that got closed many years ago, some people got scared. This would never happen without your voting, but it's holy ground. I keep being nudged by the Holy Spirit. Get up. Do not be afraid. This will happen, and being touched by God. Would you like some good news? I've been working with Dan Currington of Currington Contractors who built this beautiful place. They know what they're doing, don't they? And I told him what we were thinking about. Would he put some financial numbers to it? And I said, I'm thinking about maybe putting a pantry on the other side of this wall, obviously at the very end where the tanks are and the sheds. He's on the phone with me. He said, you know, why don't you do this? Put a modular on this end, at the south end. All the infrastructure's in the ground. He goes, and then at a future date, you can roll that indoors when you expand the church. I had never thought about that. So that those who are coming to get food don't have to go to an outside door. They can come into the sanctuary doors now, which is later over there. And I got really fired up about that. And he and I put the numbers together, mostly him. That can be done for $55,000 max. A modular unit. Staged, built, connected to utilities of water, sewer, electric. It can be done turnkey, so we had the keys. Jesus says, if I want it, are you going to say yes or no? And if you say yes, I will touch you and get up and do not be afraid. If we don't need the sewer and electric and some of the engineering, it's $49,000. Built, installed, ready to go. Only because I asked. And you know I'm pushy. None of that will happen without you voting. But I'd ask you to think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to help and guide us. Because if Jesus is touching us to do so, may we say yes. And he's saying, do not be afraid. Don't worry, it's not the ceiling coming down, it's the ice machine. Yes, Mr. Nelson. No, built, made, on site. It would what? I'm not sure a modular would bring up the value, but if it got moved inside, it would eventually. It's not going to hurt the value of the property. Brand new skirt, sidewalk, ramp for the disabled, max, $55,000. You just don't seem very astonished about God this morning. But how'd you like to hear about some holy ground stuff that's free, besides the cupcakes that aren't here? You know, it's always dangerous when I have meetings with people, right? And I had one Thursday with some folks from the outside Marion County, and Cindy Kelly was able to be here from social ministry. Carolyn had a doctor appointment, couldn't be here. Carol Harmon's sick. But I learned something. I've been here since 2002, and I had no idea this ministry existed. How would you feel on behalf of Jesus Christ to get up, do not be afraid, and have a mobile bus, free dental clinic here for the people in need? 100% staffed by them, free. We could clear it through St. Vincent de Paul Society right down the street. How would you feel about the holy ground here of bringing in a medical clinic bus that even has its own bathrooms? 100% absolutely free to those who would come. How would you feel about saying this to Jesus as he says to us, would you offer me a parking place that is as big as the Bloodmobile bus for my people? Absolute holy ground. Easy. And you like the word free. And Jesus is saying, if you do it, get up and do not be afraid. I will touch my people through my Christ Lutheran Church. Aren't you glad I go to meetings sometimes? You had a question back there. Well, we realize that. If you didn't hear, he said, I have to talk to Mr. Lefebvre about the finances. Nothing will happen with a modular unless there's a gathering of official voting to do that. So I'm only giving you the idea that it's cost. And if that could be done for $49,000, this building costs what, folks? That's a drop in the bucket. And if the Holy Spirit wants it, then we need to get up and do not be afraid of anything financial. It's not ours, it's his. The disciples realized something that they taught us on the mountain. You could tell when they fell to the ground. They realized they weren't holy, but they were in the presence of the omnipotent holy. As they walked down that mountaintop, the four of them, and Jesus said, "Tell no one of this until after the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Think of what he could have said. "I know what you're going to do to me. Traitors. Every one of you." Instead, he touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." This is incredible good news, because he's headed to Jerusalem. And his Father is going to speak to him again. "Son, get up. Do not be afraid. Accept your cross for our people and your agonizing death." And Jesus resoundingly said, "Yes." "And son, I will not be with you for 3 days. But son, in faith, I will raise you from the dead and hell itself." "Yes, Father." Imagine what the disciples thought. "He's dead. And my heavens, we betrayed him." And then he appeared and said, "Do not be afraid. Peace be with you." Do you think they felt the divine and went out into the world with the holy gospel good news? Don't take this for granted. When we leave here, we are beacons of his holy light. And it's incredible good news. Get up. Not yet. And wherever he sends us, do not be afraid. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. God, our Father of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from your mother earth, you bring forth your Son, Jesus' bread of life and wine of salvation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we place them on Jesus' holy communion banquet table, together with our lives, all that you have made and all that you continue to make. Open your heavens to us and pour out the Holy Spirit. We receive Jesus' mercy in his precious body and blood. We live lives centered in Jesus' freedom, justice, and peace. We hunger and thirst only for Jesus, our banquet of eternal life. Let us pray. Faithful God, our Father, you keep your covenant promise of salvation to us in your Son, Jesus' holy communion banquet meal, nourishing us with the eternal gift of Jesus' salvation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to send us forth as Jesus' servants of his freedom, justice, and peace, that through his ministries and missions, we always testify to your eternal goodness and hope that is ours in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, whose mercy in his Son Jesus endures from generation to generation, as St. Mary, before she gave birth to her Son Jesus, set out to visit Elizabeth before she gave birth to her Son, St. John the Baptist, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bless those who continue to go forth to share Jesus' holy gospel good news and holy communion sacrament with our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound in skilled care, assisted living hospice and hospitals. In Jesus' love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring Jesus' holy gospel good news and holy communion sacrament, that through his precious body and blood, we all know his salvation and the hope of his promised return. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God our Father, and the source of our life together, keep us united in mind and purpose as we serve Jesus and his ministries and missions. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen. Give our choir director, Sharon, a big amen. Thank you very much. Don't forget, if you're coming Wednesday to Ash Wednesday for the service as well as soup, please sign up. It's right by the office door in the tallest podium. Also, if you can make soup during Lent, case sign up is out there. Thank you for considering that. Stick around and have some punch and think you're eating cupcakes. That'll be next week. And if you'd like, yes, virtual cupcakes, yes. Some of you want a tour. Well, we got two property guys. One's wearing sunglasses. I'm not sure what that means. If you want a tour, I know that I'm teasing you. See these guys, and they'd be glad to take you, particularly in the sanctuary. So I know the Ledbetters would like to, maybe James and Maria, and I know Deborah would like to see it. So please do that, and continue to do not be afraid. Get up, go on your way, and touch those in the name of Jesus. And Barb will dismiss us.
Go in peace. Let Jesus' holy light shine in with and through us all. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Have a blessed week. Thanks be to God.